Welcome to the program. Always great to sit in for Jim, be a small part of the biggest and most important show in our industry. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Jim is still in the basement, got to deal with me today and tomorrow, but we will follow the same blueprint as I've done in the past when I'm fortunate enough to sit in for the Hall of Famer. Phone calls taken selectively at 1-800-636-8686. Emails romanavatake.com. Twitter is your best bet. That's BW Weber. Weber with two B's. Hashtag it JTP. But to be totally transparent at the outset, we have so much news to get to today. Maybe a touch less interaction. I'll do my best to keep you involved with every step of the program. We're jumping right in with college football season now in dire straits. Plenty of NFL takeaways from the PGA Championship. A star is born in Colin Morikawa. Phil Mickelson's got dad jokes. Plus, hoops, NBA bubble beef in Orlando, a dust-up spilling over to social media. Zion Williamson not going to be part of the postseason. And I try my best not to overwhelm you with guests, giving you potentially more chances to be a part of the show. Just one guest in this first hour of the program. In 40 minutes, we talk baseball. Are the Cardinals ever going to play another game? We'll round the bases with Joe Sheehan of Sports Illustrated. Down a man today on the XR4TI. The great Alvin DeLauro enjoying some well-deserved time off. So Garrett Ritz sliding over to handle the board. You know then it's game on.
Game on.
If you can find the button. And in the absence of Alvin, somebody's got to be a leader. Somebody's got to be the big toe, Sergeant Holka. In most settings, that would be the executive producer. But since Adam Hawk has earned that new moniker, less than zero, because that's how much effort he gives any fill-in host, I'm assuming very little from that side of the glass. Less than zero also happens to be how many college credits Adam accumulated before he got into radio.
There's no ceiling.
Less than zero
stupidity.
Also feels like the odds we're going to have a college football season in the fall. Confirmation of a story that's been floating around since yesterday, and I want to have proper attribution because there are too many folks stealing outright in our business. The Detroit Free Press reporting the Big Ten has voted to cancel football this fall. The announcement looming tomorrow. The vote of university presidents, 12-2 in favor of postponing, if you want to be optimistic, canceling fall sports, pushing it back to the spring. And in a moment, we'll talk about the viability of that. Nebraska and Iowa, interestingly, voting to play. So even though we're in August, it feels like March all over again, and that's certainly how things have worked in 2020. Every day feels the same. But let's go back to post the Rudy Gobert moment, how things developed in college basketball. Ivy League said we're not going to play our postseason tournament. Then we had the ripple effect across the country, and it was the Big East playing a game at Madison Square Garden that they shut down at the half. That's how college basketball screeched to a halt. And here we are in college football, where the dominoes are falling in a different fashion. Watched a lot of golf over the weekend, got up early to catch the action from scenic Harding Park in San Francisco, California. Hello, friends. And when we talk golf in the next hour of the program, when I'm the commissioner of sports, and I know you're desperately looking for that to happen, it's Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. Tweet at me, BW Weber. All majors will be played on the West Coast, so we can get those vistas, especially in San Francisco, and we can have primetime golf. But when I was soaking in the action from my luxurious studio apartment here in Southern California, social media exploded on Saturday with the news that the MAC wasn't going to play fall sports. And the semantics are important. You can call it postponement, cancellation. The end result is the same. pushing things down the road with the hope that when we get to the spring, we're in a better place as a country. And if you want to watch college sports, how about you put on a damn mask and stop going to parties with 25 people in your basement? Not getting political, just following science, because science still matters. Now, the cynic in me wonders, will we have a vaccine by the time we get to spring? But let's stick to sports. There's a big sign that says CBS Sports Network there, CBS Sports Radio over my shoulder. I'll shut up and dribble here. So the MAC conference made their announcement on Saturday, and within an hour or two, every college football insider on social media started reporting details that this would be the tipping point for a series of events, and so far, they have been accurate. And can we please dispel the notion there are people in my industry rooting for college sports to fail? It makes absolutely no sense. If there are no college sports, how do those of us who work in the industry get paid? I know you don't care about my Pac-12 fall schedule about to dissolve with the Pac-12 university president scheduled to meet tomorrow, but I'm just getting tired of this narrative on social media that there are those of us in the media rooting against our own livelihood and our occupations. If there aren't sports, this job becomes incredibly challenging, unless you're a Hall of Famer like Jim Rome, who's always going to find a creative way of keeping you entertained and informed. So, Saturday, down goes the MAC. And unless you are a hardcore football fan, I have covered a football game at Bowling Green, because anything can happen when Temple and Bowling Green get together, throw that record book right out the window. I appreciate the MAC. Most of you, unless you're a degenerate gambler, just jonesing for MACtion on a Tuesday night to make up for your loss on Monday Night Football. Let's be candid. They're a mid-major at best, but they're significant here because they are universities. So it's not important, for example, that a school like Akron can't be on the field to play the Big Ten if the Big Ten wanted to have non-conference games. But when we had that announcement from the Big Ten that they were eliminating non-conference games this year, that effectively canceled the MAC schedule. Because while I believe the university presidents foremost are concerned about safety, and you're going to hear more and more that health officials, when consulting with university folks, are letting them know, especially when we're talking about football players with large frames, the dreaded BMI, don't tweet my BMI, I'm aware of my own issues, okay? But we're hearing more concerns about COVID's impact on heart conditions. So safety is a factor. In the case of the MAC, money, I think, was the prevailing component. And don't overlook liability, because we're talking about, quote-unquote, amateur athletes, not professional players. If you are compensated in baseball, in basketball, in the National Football League, well, part of the collective bargaining agreement to get those players back on the field involved COVID waivers. If you get it, you're not suing the leagues you're playing for. Very different in the college space. The optics are challenging. Can you ask 18 to 22-year-old people to return to campuses that in most cases are fully or at least 75% focused on virtual learning now? So we're going to send the football team back on the campus, have them risk their health and picking up a virus that we still know very little about. And even if they're okay, I keep hearing 18 to 22-year-old people are strong, especially D1 athletes. I'm not denying that. But what happens when a linebacker from Iowa State gets sick, goes home, and then we got issues at his house? So if you're thinking about the foundation for where we are, and if you're just joining us, we'll find out tomorrow, according to this report from the Detroit Free Press, Big Ten has voted to cancel football, push it back to the spring along with the other fall sports. The announcement tomorrow, And logic says with the Pac-12 university presidents and chancellors, the CEOs effectively of those schools scheduled to meet tomorrow, it could be this series of events. Big Ten goes first, Pac-12 joins them, and we'll talk about the SEC in a second because we know it just means more in the Southeastern Conference. But if you are a university official, liability is one of your biggest concerns, and if you get lawyers involved, their first guess typically is avoid a situation in which you can be sued. So, if you believe that college football needs to be played to have college sports in general, and I can't dispute that notion because the fact that I work for Pac-12 Network and the standard disclaimer, I am speaking for myself. None of my employers, including CBS Sports Radio, Entercom, or the good people at Pac-12 Network. And I don't have sources. Last time I saw Larry Scott, commissioner of the Pac-12, he was running women's professional tennis. I interviewed him after a Maria Sharapova match at Staples Center in 2006. I am not Kirk Herbstreit. I'm not pretending to have a network of sources for you. I'm a guy trying to follow my bliss and work as much as I can. But I've been in college sports since I was a Doogie Howser of broadcasting, got a job at 21 in San Francisco, primarily because I was a Stanford graduate. They liked me and I would work cheaply. 30 years later, here we are. So I think I have a degree of understanding of what's going on. Big Ten, Pac-12 realize, even though it's been a waiting game, and going through the exercise of putting together schedules and having anticipation and enthusiasm around these conferences. Heck, the SEC put out their conference on Friday, and it was a ballyhooed event. This was all inevitable. They were all waiting as long as they could. I didn't think it would be the MAC that would be the catalyst of the rest of these dominoes falling. I thought, especially the conferences like the Pac-12 and the SEC, who pushed the start of their football seasons back to the end of September, I thought, hoping the NFL would be able to successfully navigate the virus. If we have NFL games, then we will. The NFL is going to start. Don't overlook their ability to monetize everything. But I had an educated, informed opinion. College football at least would begin, and then we'd have the issues that also seem fairly obvious. Think about what the Marlins and Cardinals have already gone through. Professional grown-ups, quote-unquote, in their mid-20s, unable to follow the rules and common sense, stay out of the club or the casino. Well, what about 19, 20-year-old kids? And I don't want to be disparaging, but when you're that age, especially when I'm an okay boomer kind of guy, you are still evolving individually. Do you really think, even with their focus and discipline to balance school and sports, they may not slip up and go to a college party? Because it only takes the backup tight end not being as responsible as the rest of the team, bringing back something that he picked up at the corner bar or speakeasy, and then you have an outbreak. So I'm not surprised, but I'm also not rooting for this outcome. One more time, if you care about my ability to pay the rent, this is not good for Uncle B. Webb. Thankfully, I can do a few other things, like clutch this microphone. I'm going to go work as a butter churner after the show at a medieval times here in Southern California. But it's not over yet. You're saying there's a chance. The SEC is going to do what they want to. And we can get into red state, blue state issues, but I'm trying to avoid politics because I know you don't want my political views. But it's difficult to not have linkage there because if you're just tracking what's happening in different parts of the country, there are radically different approaches to the virus. So as of now, here's how I think things will continue to develop, and I'm back with you tomorrow. At that point, I think we'll have the official announcement, the Big Ten's not playing, followed by the Pac-12 at some point, maybe as soon as tomorrow afternoon or later in the week. Then it's up to the SEC. Can they potentially recruit a few teams from the Big 12 who want to join them? What about the ACC? But if it comes down to the ACC university presidents, not the athletic directors, not the head coaches who are dealing with self-interest here, the people responsible for running these institutions of higher learning, a few of whom are MDs, two of the university presidents in the Big Ten are doctors, not like Dr. Bill Cosby, no EDDs here, real medical doctors. If somehow the SEC has to go it alone, Big 12 and the ACC decide to join the Big Ten and the Pac-12, it would not stun me if the SEC tries to play. Because we know for decades they have thought that they are bigger than college football. They define the sport. Can't argue with all of the first-round draft picks. It's a pipeline to the pros and the national championships. And maybe because there are no new ideas in sports or anything else, we go back to the old days of a mythical national champion. It's the SEC champ crowning themselves as national champs, like we had with the AP and the UPI back in the day. Or if there's money to be made with the college football playoff, just make it four SEC teams. Why not? Won't be Missouri. You see their schedule? They got Alabama and LSU added when the SEC came out with their schedule on Friday. So this will be the prevailing theme throughout the program. But I understand some of you aren't huge college football fans. I don't want to fall into the ability to opine and bloviate on a big word Monday. So same approach. We're going to mix in things that are interesting and lighthearted, but I will do my best to pepper each segment with a thought on college football. We'll track what's going on. If there's more breaking news, you can be a part of the show. Phone calls taken selectively. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Coming up in just over 20 minutes, we talk baseball. They're going to finally realize they need a postseason bubble so we can have a World Series. We'll check in with Joe Sheehan from Sports Illustrated. Straight ahead, talking NBA. How do we really know the association is back? Patrick Beverley, Paul George, in the midst of a war of words with Damian Lillard, and Dame yesterday made the Sixers pay. That's on the way. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Have you had trouble finding time to fully wax your car? 303 Touchless Sealant will save you hours. The SiO2 based formula is completely touchless and a quicker alternative to waxing your vehicle. Plus, it lasts twice as long. It's so easy to use. Simply spray on and rinse off. 303 Touchless Sealant provides superior protection against paint fading and provides the ultimate shine in no time. It only takes minutes to get that same water-beating protection you get from a full wax, saving you hours spent in the garage. Save for paint, gel coat, fiberglass, plastics, and can be even used on your windshields and wheels as well. It can also be used when you're looking to prolong the time in between waxes or ceramic coatings. 303 products have been trusted for over 40 years and are the official car care products of Mecum Auctions. Available now at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts store. Visit 303radio.com for all the information.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you, in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on a Monday. Great to have you with us coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Simulcast with outstanding production values on the CBS Sports Network. 1-800-636-8686. To be up front, we're going to get a guest coming up in 15 minutes talking baseball with Joe Sheehan of Sports Illustrated. And then a guest to start hour number two, Mike Jones of USA Today talking NFL. Who? Mike Jones. So, yes, I'm not as suburban as I look or sound. If you want to call, do it in the next hour of the program. Coming up, we're talking the NBA bubble beef. At last, we got real friction in Orlando, but I do my best to read as many tweets as I can. So let's get that going. Brian, Welcome back, Mr. Weber. That's Brian with two BMIs, as in twice the amount of a normal person, Jake in New York City. You know, Jake, I grew up 30 minutes away from where you just tweeted that venom. I went to school in the Bronx. Where is the love for somebody who apparently has had 7 calzones in the last 24 hours? Let's keep it going. Gee, off in Lincoln. I got to pre-read this stuff, but I am multitasking. I'll get to you in a second, Geoff. I'm not in the mood for that right now. 143CI. Shark Week is my favorite week of the year, signed Jim McElwain. Tyson versus the Shark. Was that last night or tonight? I got a little bit confused with all the college football news that we had to cover here. And wait a minute, this is sincere? I don't do sincerity well. Matthew Zimmerman. Usually I can't wait to switch the channel on a guest host, but Brian Weber's providing good quality and appreciated commentary about the cancellation of college football. Might not make some clones happy, but most didn't attend college anyway. Regards, Adam Hawk. All right, because that was good, I'll be generous. Geoff and Lincoln. It's Division I football. It's the Big Ten. It ain't intramurals. Regards, Iowa and Nebraska voting to keep the Big Ten season alive. War, bums using a stick of butter as deodorant.
It's Division I football! It's the Big 12! It ain't intramurals! You got 2 weeks after finals, you got a week of July 4th, and you got a week before camp starts. That's a month! That's probably more vacation than you guys get. And we're a little bummed out that we don't get 3 weeks? Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
Brother, we could just do the super mix, Mike Leach and Fat Little Girlfriends, Fat. But I have some NBA observations. And coming up in the next hour, we'll talk about how the playoff picture's coming into focus. There will be the 8-9 gimmick play-in coming up this weekend. And effectively now it's down to Phoenix, who just can't lose, San Antonio. It's looking like it'll be Memphis versus Portland. If Memphis wins one more game, but they've only won once in Orlando, and Portland wins the last two, that's the matchup. That's a little bit arcane. Let's get into what makes the NBA phenomenal. These guys not only open up their lives to us on social media, these dudes aren't afraid to talk and back it up. So let's take you back to what happened over the weekend. And I've been consistent, if you care about my view of who's going to emerge victorious in the strangest postseason I think we're ever going to see, especially in the NBA, it's going to be the L.A. Clippers, not the L.A. Lakers. And the Lakers, unless you think they're just mailing it in because they've locked up the top seed in the West, have real issues offensively. I'll talk about this more coming up next hour. Anthony Davis is all or nothing at all. He's either going for 40 points and 13 rebounds, or he's going to be 3 of 15 floor. Clippers can overwhelm you with depth, and that was the case on Saturday when they beat Portland, even though we're in Orlando, we're in a bubble, they had 4 months off, but it's time for load management for Kawhi Leonard because Boardman gets rest. You had Patrick Beverley in his skivvies, unable to go, so he was wearing street clothes. Montrezl Harrell is back in the bubble, but unavailable after dealing with the personal issues, needing to quarantine. And because the Clippers embrace load management more than anybody else, Paul George did not play in crunch time. He rested the final 5 minutes of the game. So you figured, with everything that Portland had to play for, advantage Blazers, but the complete upset occurred late in the game. The modern version of Mr. Clutch. He's the Jerry West of 2020. Damian Lillard was on the line, and he missed free throws that could have put Portland in a prime position to win the game. And because we're talking about NBA players who have no problem expressing themselves, as Dame missed that shot, the Clippers bench erupted, led by Patrick Beverley, who wasn't available because he was dealing with some aches and pains. I thought he was going to hurt himself falling down in the reaction to Lillard missing that free throw, because Dame never misses when the game is on the line. I'm not even talking about from 15 feet, not just a free throw. He can hit from 40 feet, as we know, as he did a year ago, beating Paul George and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So that's the backstory. You had George following Beverly, mocking Lillard, waving bye-bye with his signature move. And Lillard, if you know anything about his intensity, was not going to back down when he was asked about the Clippers' antics post-game.
Asking me about Patrick Beverly, who I sent him home before at the end of a game. Paul George just got sent home by me last year in the playoffs. So they know. I didn't see it, but I heard about it. After I missed the first one, I heard them over there yelling. I just think that's, to me, that just shows what they expect from me down the stretch. You know, they know what I do. And he saw it firsthand when I was a second-year player when he was in Houston. So I'm sure he has a great memory of that, which is, you know, why that drew that type of reaction from him when he saw me come up short at the end of a game. So to me, that's all that says.
No lies told by Dame there, because as I mentioned, but if you didn't catch the allusion or forgot what happened last year in the postseason, I went to Kevin Harlan. It's early in the program, but it was a dagger walk-off three, burying OKC, winning the series for Portland, and blowing up the franchise. Paul George left. Russell Westbrook traded to Houston. So advantage Lillard there. But you figured, okay, these are seeding games. We'll save the real trash talking for the postseason. You would be wrong, because we're talking about NBA players who are not going to back down and know how to use social media. So instead of game over, game on. That's game an on. H. A news outlet posted Lillard's comments, leading Beverly to jump in with a blast from the past. Cancun on three, going old school. Nick Van Exel, the original Vance Mack. And the obvious implication there is the Blazers are going to have an early exit from the playoffs if they even get in after the 8-9 gimmick. Then George piled on, backing up his teammate, also posting at Lillard, and you getting sent home this year. Well, sometimes cliches are trite, but they have truth. To the victors go the spoils. It really ain't trash talk if you can back it up with the scoreboard. But you knew Dame was not going to let the Clippers have the final word. So he replied to George with this pithy line: keep switching teams, running from the grind. You boys is chumps. And that was that. And it was as predictable that Lillard wouldn't give the Clippers the satisfaction of throwing the last punch. He took out his frustration on the Sixers yesterday. Philadelphia knowing Ben Simmons out for potentially, and most likely, the rest of their bubble run with the knee injury. Joel Embiid twisted his ankle against Portland yesterday, running into the stanchion. Still a competitive game. Portland needed every one of the 51 points that Dame dropped on the Sixers, who I'm sure, if they run into anybody from the Clippers in the bubble, probably had a couple choice words there. So I know we've all been waiting for the real, legitimate, authentic NBA. It is back. We got it in every important category. And this postseason could be phenomenal. Looking ahead, if the Blazers indeed match up with the Grizz and that 9-8 thing coming up this weekend, Portland probably wins because Memphis just can't win more than one game, and not having Jaren Jackson doesn't help. So we get the Blazers and the Lakers round one. Other potential matchups, Clippers and Mavs. We'll talk more about Luka Doncic. Is he the best player in the league under the age of 25? You have Nuggets and Jazz, Thunder and Rockets, with all of the connections between those franchises. So if it feels like these games have been a little bit erratic, I'm with you. And there have been lapses in concentration and load management and some very strange final scores if you care about the view from Las Vegas. But it felt like on Saturday, the NBA was officially back, and I'm here for every second of it. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomanAvatake.com. Open for business on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Straight ahead, we'll talk some baseball. After the Marlins and the Cardinals, is MLB one more crisis away from having to end their season? Looking forward to our conversation with Joe Sheehan of Sports Illustrated and the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. But first, let's get you a sports update. Andrew Bogish has... We roll on a very busy Monday, but I'll always carve out time for your phone calls, specifically in the next hour of the program. 1-800-636-8686. Emails RomanAvatake.com. Tweets have been good today. Let's keep it going. Unless your name Geoff in Lincoln, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. 20 minutes from now, we start the second hour of the show talking NFL with Mike Jones of USA Today. Check out the Football Jones podcast. And it's an ATP Monday. Time to ask the pros. Were you the clones? Get to ask me a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later in the show when I might answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Can you be better than Bella B? We'll find out in the last hour of the program. As promised, let's talk baseball with a thoughtful MLB journalist. It's Joe Sheehan. You read his work at Sports Illustrated and the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. Joe, thanks for taking the time. How are you? Joe is in a tunnel. Joe is in a submarine. I can do theater of the mind. Brian, I'm doing well. How are you? I'm doing great. I'm going to try to hit the right buttons so Joe Sheehan can join us. Or maybe that's not going to happen. I think I'm going to make the executive decision, as my executive producer scrambles, to remind you that baseball had months to figure out what they wanted to do, and a bubble concept was floated early on. Would it be multiple bubbles? Arizona, Texas, and Florida. Would they, speaking of the owners, be willing to write the check and come up with that financial investment? And would the players be willing to change their lifestyles, leave their families for months? And the answer was no. So they went out there with this 60-game illegitimate season. And clearly a couple teams didn't take it seriously, namely the Marlins, who are playing well, magically, despite the fact that we've not heard of any of these players. What a job Don Mattingly has done. They're getting guys off a beer truck and putting them in the rotation. And the Cardinals. And the Cardinals have only played 5 games so far. They're still waiting to go back to the diamond. If they're allowed to play later in the week, here's what lies ahead. A stretch of 55 games in 46 days. So this league that talks about integrity and competitive balance, of course, is being totally hypocritical, but it's all about getting to the postseason, because the regular season was the conduit to get to the playoffs, because that's where the real network TV money is. Regular season pays the bills for the teams getting the money from their regional sports networks, but the big bonanza of cash comes when we get to October with the expanded playoffs. So baseball at this point has to have a moment of clarity and realize they are fortunate even to be playing, despite the fact that we have players with brazen disregard for the protocol set up by the league and common sense, not wearing a mask in the dugout, not socially distancing, going out to dinner, and that continues. If you really care about the details of baseball, the Indians pitching staff has been marvelous. Zach Plesac, part of that. Well, Zach couldn't have the discipline to stay in his hotel room when Cleveland was in Chicago, went out with friends, spotted in a restaurant, and he was sent home. Had to hop in a rental car and go back to Cleveland, because baseball is finally taking this more seriously from an organizational standpoint, understanding if there's one more outbreak, and it's a notable team, and I'm not disparaging the Marlins. I just gave props to Donnie Baseball for doing a magnificent job of holding that team together. But if we're talking about the Yankees or the Dodgers, franchises that casual fans care about, if there is a super spreading event in the Bronx, they're going to shut the entire thing down. So baseball's just trying to get to a place where they can play October baseball, and the answer is right in front of them. It's what they should have done months ago when they had the opportunity to play 110 games and have a semi-legitimate regular season instead of the 60-game nonsense with a runner at second base after a tie game going to the 10th, and no one will bunt. Can I do my old man yell at the cloud bit? You have a runner in scoring position with nobody out. Move him over. I know the bunt is not efficient. Give me the t-shirt. Kill the bunt. But somehow, some way, the fundamentals of baseball that have stood for over a century have to have some meaning. But if you're going with that, and ludicrous seven-game doubleheaders, at least now have the concession you have to have a postseason bubble, because bubbles work. Another round with no positive test in the NBA. Hockey has been magnificent in Canada. WNBA getting it done. MLS, after some issues, was able to navigate their way through their tournament in Orlando. And maybe that's what becomes of the Cardinals. Just like we had soccer teams sent home or just removed from the draw, maybe it becomes just too burdensome to ask the Cardinals to play all of these weird doubleheaders and make up these games for the sole sake of TV money, because there ain't no fans being allowed at Busch Stadium. Because at this point, it's just a farce to ask the Cardinals to embrace this notion of competitive balance. But are we surprised in any way? No. We're talking about baseball, the sport that can't figure out how to effectively market its stars, can't connect with generations of lost fans. Did you really think that the old bromide of billionaire owners and millionaire players would put their petty differences aside for the good of the country? FDR demanded baseball continue during World War II because he wanted a sense of normalcy and entertainment. And these fools could not even come up with a compromise to get back on the field. But if you're, like so many people, just starved for sports and happy that any of them are back, and we'll talk about just how glorious the PGA Championship was coming up in hour number two of the program, I'm not telling you don't watch baseball. Just understand what you're watching. You're seeing more soft tissue injuries for pitchers. Why? Because they had to be rushed out there when the season finally began. You're seeing home run derby again. Why? Because that's all baseball is now. And if you want to get into the particulars, of course the ball has been juiced and is continuing to be juiced. And if you want to get more nuanced, you can talk about the analytics approach that promotes putting the ball in the air, because if you put it on the ground like a bunt, bad things can happen, namely a double play. So there's no stigma in striking out 300 times or what would add up to that with the smaller sample size. Dave Kingman, if he played today, would be embraced as a national hero, along with Gorman Thomas and Greg Luzinski. Where's Rob Deere when you need him? In the 80s, those guys were, if you're going to be kind, specialists. They were also one-dimensional players. Now, that's what the sport is. But in fairness, ratings have been strong. I can give you the background there. Baseball's demo is 55-2 in the grave. I'm close, not there yet. Traditionalists are still watching TV on their couch, flipping through manually. NBA ratings are down, but look at the social media metrics, way up, because millennials consume the NBA differently than mom and dad and Uncle Brian do. Where do we stand right now with baseball? Well, I think hopefully the worst is behind them. because the players realize all that's being asked of them is the bare minimum. Wear a mask. Don't leave the hotel. Zach Plesac, or we're going to send you home. Don't head out to get, quote-unquote, milk, like Jeet said, was the reason the Marlins had those issues in Atlanta. Remember, that was before the season started. Baseball couldn't even get through the restart, opening day, without major problems. So it comes down to personal responsibility for the players. How about this? Don't have a fight. I know the Astros are the most detestable organization in all of sports. And to have that coach take a step forward to goad the Oakland A's yesterday, well, pandemic or no pandemic, it's go time, because baseball players may not believe in wearing masks. They may not believe in evolution, but they believe in frontier justice. So you knew that was coming. And how about those Oakland A's? My swinging A's. Going to take a pandemic for them finally to win something, not involving the Bash Brothers? There's a lot out there to appreciate if you still care about baseball. But fundamentally, the reason I have a degree of angst, not losing sleep over this, it could have been much better. Could have had 100 games. Could have helped us through a challenging time, in these challenging times. But that said, I think the postseason is going to be very interesting, because it's an invitational. Just throw everybody in there. Weird stuff is going to happen. Pitching really doesn't matter at this point. Well, the Marlins get in, because it's not going to be the raw totals of wins and losses. If you're going to justify the Cardinals maybe shutting it down or playing a limited schedule, I think you got to go with winning percentages. So because this whole season has been bizarre, buckle up. The strangest is yet to come. We will effort a conversation with Mike Jones of USA Today and the Football Jones podcast. If he's not available, I got a lot on my mind today. I've had a whole weekend to get you fully lined up for our takeaways from the PGA Championship. I saw Bryson DeChambeau lean on the driver on Friday and break it. And I know you were thinking about a corpulent on a Big Word Monday fill-in host. Yours truly, Brian Weber. Coming up, why can't the dysfunctional Washington football team even tweet properly? You're in the jungle, Monday edition. Weber and Ferrone, CBS Sports Radio.